come alive. You can smell his presence in the blink of an eye. Bigfoot, Sasquatch back in the woods. Bigfoot, Yeti in your neighborhood. Bigfoot, skunk ape, is he beast or man? Bigfoot, Wendigo, living off the land. Out in the mountains, where the wild only walk, you can find a footprint that won't fit a sock. Crying in the night, a full moon is all you see. You might hear a grunt, some knocking on some trees. Bigfoot, Sasquatch back in the woods. Bigfoot, Yeti in your neighborhood. Bigfoot, skunk ape, is he beast or man? Bigfoot, Wendigo, living off the land. Some people have spotted him every now and then. You never know if he's lurking just around the bend. He stands about 8 foot tall with big red eyes. Is he an animal or just a guy in a very scary, hairy disguise? Bigfoot, Sasquatch back in the woods. Bigfoot, Yeti in your neighborhood. Bigfoot, skunk ape, is he beast or man? Bigfoot, Wendigo, living off the land. Searching for Bigfoots. Searching for Bigfoots. Searching for Bigfoots. Searching for Bigfoot, Sasquatch back in the woods. Bigfoot, Yeti in your neighborhood. Bigfoot, skunk ape, is he beast or man? Bigfoot, Wendigo, living off the land.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of May 9th, 2017, and episode number 313. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Well, I'm back. I made it out of the woods of Pennsylvania alive. A little worse for wear. It was quite rainy, quite wet. And it's like I probably caught a cold or three over the weekend. So I'm going to be fighting the voice thing this weekend again, or this week again. So bear with me. Hopefully I can make it through the hour. And this hour we have a review of the 2017 Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. See, you thought you were going to get away from me talking about this, but no, we're going to probably most of the show. I don't know. We'll see. But it's also going to be a cryptid special tonight, all cryptozoology, including the review of the 2017 Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. It was intense. Let me tell you, the rain was intense. A lot of other things were intense as well. We'll get into that. And the cryptid special continues with an update on the Thylacine Project. We'll talk about feral monkeys in the United States and Homo floresiensis news. We'll also talk about the Loch Ness Monster. Well, I guess all that needs to be said is it made its 2017 debut. So, yeah, what a weekend. And let me just let me throw the sponsor in here. This all fits in, and he appreciates this. I know he does. This week's show, I guess, is brought to you by Chum Bucket Studios. Yeah, Chum Bucket Studios. They offer professional, high-quality digital products from prints to movies, printing, signs, videos, video editing, even website graphics, and much more. It all begins with a little imagination. Check them out today at chumbucketstudios.com. And Jay Bajachin, who runs Chum Bucket Studios, was a speaker this weekend at the 2017 Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. And not only that, but he designed the posters, the beautiful posters that everybody got. I didn't get one. I forgot to get one. I did get the special edition one for the speakers. He designed posters this year and last year. He did all the artwork for everything, and he did it for free. He did it for this charitable event, which would have probably cost thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of dollars, to do this stuff. So, you know, hats off to Jay and Chum Bucket Studios for the work that they did for this event, which was a huge success, by the way. Speaking about a charitable event for the charities, I mean, that's what we did it for. We did it to have fun, but it was for those people. And it was really rainy. But I'll talk about it from the beginning, I guess. I had to work on Friday. I had to kind of pick and choose vacations and time off and everything. So I had to work Friday, and it was 2.5 hour drive to Farmington from my home here in Ohio. But when I got home, I changed my clothes, loaded up the car with the last little bit of stuff I had to load. And man, it was raining here. On the way there, it kind of cleared out near the Ohio border, Ohio-PA border. But after that, it was pretty much hit and miss with the rain. And when I say hit, it hit hard. And it was pretty much, I don't want to call it a whiteout, that's snow, but just not easy to drive. And I almost had to pull over a couple of times. It was pretty bad weather. And I knew this event was going to go on rain or shine. I mean, it's an outdoor event. You have to expect the weather to be bad. And I knew it was raining there. I knew it had been raining. And funny thing is last year, it was so dry a couple of weeks prior that we weren't going to be able to have any fires at the event. And then all of a sudden, it just rained for about a week. And it was wet. It was muddy. But we had most of the time was nice. It had rained, I think, Friday night, and Saturday was okay. And pretty much everybody left on Sunday. But this year, they expanded the event. So it was speakers all day Saturday and most of the day on Sunday. Now, I got in a little after 6 o'clock. I got into Farmington, got to Benner's Meadow Run Cabins, and checked in. And I'll tell you, I'm sure they're used to, like, Memorial Day and 4th of July and all that, and the big camping season. But Benner's Meadow Run Cabins did a heck of a job accommodating all of these people, and they really got into the event. They had the little pieces of paper with the code to get into the campground, had a little Bigfoot on it. It was really nice. They went out all out for it, and they helped keep the whole entire campground safe and cleaned up. Well, Bigfooters, we make a lot of trash. We ate a lot of hot dogs and Squatch burgers over the weekend, and they were throwing down hay over the all the mud that was accumulating everywhere. So they did a great job. And after I checked in, I found my spot, which was really quick and easy to get to, right in between two restrooms, which is very important when you're camping out in the cold and you have rain pelting on your tent all night long. Just imagine, what that does to your sense of having to go to the bathroom. So that was nice to be in between those two. And not that you really want to take a shower, because you're essentially outside with just a little door. So that shower was really, really cold. Not that you need to know. Why am I telling you all this? I don't know. It's too late now. So, yeah, I got there a little after 6, found a nice spot to set up. it was raining a little too hard for me to set up my tent, even though it only took about 3-4 minutes to set up my tent. But I figured I'd run down real quick and say hello to Eric and whoever else was down there by the pavilion. First guy spotted, I'm pretty sure, was Walt Wadsworth, who is a big fan of the show. He's not in the chat room right now. Shame on you, Walt. Anyway, spotted him, chat room regular here on the Paranormal News Insider. Also saw Steve Coles pretty much right away. Comes run up to me. He's the Squatch detective. Great guy, awesome researcher, very down to earth, very balanced minded. And man, the Squatch detective, he was an awesome guy I'd hang out with all weekend long. Bumped into Ricky Cherby. Now, Ricky Cherby is a close friend of Eric Altman's. Now, he set up and tore down pretty much everything almost on his own. This guy's a beast. And he also did all that last year. He helped out a lot. And helped out in a lot of other ways, not just tearing down everything. But going out with us over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, he's a damn fine Bigfoot hunter. An even nicer person. He's a great guy. Glad to have met him last time. I think it was last year was the first time I met him. But great guy, and he really helped out, really made this event what it was with the help of everybody involved. And in the pavilion, found Eric. He was a little tense all weekend. Well, you gotta, you know, come on. This is a big event. It's a big deal. And I want to let him know that I was there so he didn't have to worry that one of his speakers wasn't there yet. And then I thought, well, you know, it's kind of getting a little light on the rain. Maybe I'll head back over around the pond, across the bridge, through the mud, and go set up my tent for the weekend. So I go over and set up my tent. My tent is a little green tent. If you're on Facebook, you're a friend of mine, you might have seen the pictures. I just put them up right before the show. I know it's Tuesday. I've been home since Sunday night, but I had to work Monday morning. Got home a little late, so finally catching up on sleep 2 days later. But anyway, real quick setup for the tent. Two little crossbars, poof, tents up, throw on the rain fly. Little snaps, four little snaps, done. And was throwing the rain fly over, and it just started to rain a little harder. I got him in the cupboard so I didn't have to sleep in water. And I was all excited. And this has happened to me before where I've had to beat the rain before to set up my tent. Because, you know, it's going to rain for at least a half hour. It actually rained. When it started raining then, it pretty much rained nonstop until Sunday morning. And I said, I beat you, Mother Nature, pretty much out loud. And that was a big mistake. Never mess with Mother Nature. Because right after I said that, I heard a familiar noise. And it took me a second to realize what it was until it hit me in the head. It was bouncing off my tent. Yeah, it was hailing. And I thought, oh, gosh, this is just what I need. And at first it was like pea size, but then a couple seconds later, they started to get a little bit bigger. I ran over to my car. I have a panoramic sunroof on my car. And I was a little nervous, so I had an extra raincoat, threw it over the top of that, and was like laying on top of my windshield. But it didn't last that long. And diminished pretty quickly and went away, but the rain continued. So after I set up everything, threw everything in the tent, I was ready to go to sleep because I knew once I hit that pavilion, it was going to be pretty much all night. I had some pizza. We had some pizza delivered for that first night and ran down there to find some other people. And there he was. I found Jay Baitrichin from Wisconsin. He was lurking around. I was half expecting him to come running up behind me at any point in time. I figured when he saw me or saw my car, he would come sneaking up behind me. So we found each other and good friends. Great guy. He's a Wisconsin researcher. And we pretty much hung out, hung out pretty much all weekend long. I think we were pretty much inseparable for the weekend. Now, Friday night, they did what's called a town meeting. And the town meeting, if you've ever seen Finding Bigfoot, that's pretty much the same kind of concept. People come in the pavilion and they were trading stories and talking about their sightings of Bigfoot. And it was really neat just to hear other people's personal perspective on what they felt was a Bigfoot sighting. And after that, they started the show, The Legend of Boggy Creek. Little movie, if you've never seen it, it's about the Fauk monster from Fauk, Arkansas, back in 1972, which is a really interesting story. And that movie got a lot of people interested in cryptozoology and in Bigfoot research back in that time when the movie itself came out, let alone the story. But during the beginning of that movie, a lot of us decided to load up in cars and trucks and head out into the woods. And this is about just after 8 o'clock. The rain was a kind of a slow drizzle. And this was our first expedition, pretty much of the weekend. And wasn't sure how people were going to react to the rain. A lot of people weren't really dressed for that, let alone being out in the woods, which you're going to encounter a lot of wet, a lot of water, a lot of mud. But I knew I was going. So I was going to lead a group of people. So I jumped in a Jeep. It was a Jeep owned by Michael Ann, who's a friend of Steve Cole's. And Steve jumped in the car, too. And the three of us rode down to this area. There was about 30-some-odd people that braved the cold and that rainy night. And we went out to a place called the Pipeline. Now, this is a few miles from the campground in an area that's fairly remote. There was some houses and a little trailer park close by. But we ended up walking about a mile down this gravel road to a dirt road, to a muddy road, and continued to walk about a mile into a clear area where this pipeline area went from left to right or right to left or just across our path. And Eric, Michael, and Steve Coles decided to stay in the central area. It was pretty much the command site. And the people that didn't really want to walk up a hill or walk up another hill, they decided to stay at the central command site, which is a variety of gear was there as well, which, you know, everybody loves technology. Everybody loves tools. Chicks dig the tools, including the thermal and night vision cameras, which they had at their disposal. And those guys are great Bigfoot researchers. So a lot of people wanted to stick around right there. And Ricky Cherby, he led a group up to the east around kind of through a little path and then eventually up a hill. And I led a group off to the left, which was west, about a half mile up another hill area, but just over 200 feet to the west or up elevation-wise, about a half mile. And we spent a little time just kind of getting involved with just talking and hanging out and just kind of being quiet for the most part, just in case something was out there. And then we started to get loud. We did call blasts, whoops, and tree knocks. But doing that, we communicated with each other, each group, to let them know, okay, you do it, we do it. We listen for reactions and things like that. Just so, you know, it was kind of thought out. You know, everything was done with a purpose. So you wonder, do we hear anything? Do we see anything? Well, now this is a condensed version. We were out there, we left at 8. We got out there a little after 8. And by the time we hiked up to the spot and stood around and talked and got up to our other spots, it was already after 9. It was cold. Actually, it wasn't too cold Friday night, but it was really wet. It was really rainy. And we were only up there maybe an hour, and people wanted to start taking off already. Plus, the other group was going to be there at 10 o'clock. So we're looking at 2 hours. But there was a few things that started to happen. It's kind of interesting. The central command area, they saw a potential light anomaly, some weird kind of light floating around. They couldn't figure out what it was. I don't think they ever really did figure out what it was, but I don't know. It was just some weird anomalous light. I couldn't see it. Now, I could go from the place that we were at, if I walked down kind of a hill to the tree line toward the lower part of where we're at, the trail, I could see line of sight. I could see their lights. Obviously, it's dark out, but I did not see any kind of a light anomaly, so I didn't see it, but they did. Heard a few things too, a few knocks, a few answers to calls and things, but nothing major. Yeah, here it goes. So we did stay out for a while, but you know, people just wanted to leave. It was cold. It was wet. And, yeah, I went back and got in the tent and slept the night away. Constant patter of rain. Yeah, you wake up and you have to go to the bathroom. It's horrible. It's horrible. But then Saturday came. Saturday was pretty much the big day. And over 300 people showed up in the rain. And it was horrible. It was rainy. It was wet. It was starting to get windy. It got windier through the day. But people were showing up. People were happy. People were excited. And I think everybody had fun. It was a lot of fun. And to see people show up in droves despite that weather, it was just amazing. I mean, you wouldn't expect people to show up, but they did. And it was great. Well, I was happy because I had waterproof boots and full rain gear, so I was staying dry. I had like 8 layers of clothes on, but just trying to stay warm. And you've heard me talk about this event during the show the last, 5-6 months. You heard me mention the Mountain Monsters guys were going to be there. Well, Saturday morning, they already had a line of people at their table before the first speaker even started. But you know what? I got to say, and Eric had told me this, and I really never talked to these guys until, well, there was only one guy there last year. But, you know, I kind of talked to these guys real briefly, and I watched them interact with people. You know, you might not like the show, Mountain Monsters, but even they said, oh, I forget what they said, but anyway, they said something to the effect of the people that know them love them, and the people that don't know them pretty much hate them because they don't know them, if that makes any sense. But they were really, really nice people. Great. They took the time to talk to anybody and everybody, take pictures with the kids, and you know, they went out of their way to say hi to everybody and get involved with everything. So they were really, really, really a great addition to this entire weekend. Great guys, and they were there all weekend pretty much. They went home. They didn't go out on the hikes with us, but I don't blame them. It's pretty crappy weather. And Walter, talk about Walt. Walt the Music Man Trump. If you were in the chat room, you heard his song Searching for Bigfoot, which we heard last year. About 20 times a day, and it grew on you. It's a really, it's what they call an earworm. It gets in your head, and you start to sing it to yourself. And some people, kind of got to some people to where it was driving them nuts, but you still found yourself singing it a couple of days later after you got home. It's a great song. It's pretty trendy. It's pretty good. Lyrics are good. The song itself is pretty nice. And to hear live, it was a little different than what you hear when you heard if you heard the album version earlier before the show. You might hear it again. I don't know. Find out. Now this year, he had a song about the Mountain Monsters, and he had them join them while he made a music video, which is produced by Scary Harry Metz. And they do a little show. I don't think I wrote that down, but they do a little show on local cable. And it's, I don't know if you have local cable, maybe they do the same thing, but it's just this like late night show with a bunch of corny stuff and music videos and different characters that introduce TV shows and stuff. And they just have a good old time. And that's pretty much what these guys do. And, Walter Schrum, he's just gotten into this Bigfoot stuff, and he sang songs about a lot of different people. Sang songs about Chupacabra, a couple different Bigfoot ones, Yeti, and all sorts of stuff. He's got like 20 songs on this one album that I got my hands on. A lot of other people. I can't even remember. I was trying to remember Sunday night, trying to sleep, and Monday during the day at work. All the people that I bumped into, it was just so amazing how many people I shook hands with or gave hugs over the weekend. It was just a phenomenal. I don't think I've ever felt that at any convention I've been to. You know, you meet a few people, you introduce yourself to a couple new people, you see old friends, you might hang out and chit chat, talk shop, and those are fun. But this one, I don't know, it was just something different about this. It was like a family reunion. It was just seeing all these people that you've either talked to on Facebook for a long time or you've known in person. And I don't know if it was just the event or what it was that when we saw each other, it just made it that much more exciting to see each other. If we haven't seen each other in a year since the last event, like Anthony Holmes and his wife, Dina. Anthony is a Paranexus member, and he was in attendance. He's been all kinds of – I'm surprised I haven't met up with him at more events because, man, they go to just about every single place. And he was wearing a St. Albans Sanatorium shirt, which is really weird because that's my next event. But anyways, great to see Anthony and Dina once again. Butch Witkowski, who's been a guest on a number of shows here on WCJV and is a good friend of mine and sometimes in the chat room during the show. He was hanging out. Pretty much, I think he was there. I don't know if he was there Sunday. I know he was all there all day Saturday. It was rough. It was just cold, windy. Lon Strickler was there. I talked about Lon Strickler over the last couple of weeks because he's at the center of this Owlman/Mothman sighting thing that's going on in Chicago, Illinois. So I ran up to him. Felt like I should have had my press pass on. I need a press pass. Anyway, I came up to Lon and I asked him, any new news, any new developments in this Chicago Owlman thing. And he said nothing new to report, but he's working on some interviews that might help further develop this story. So I'm going to wait like the rest of everyone, just kind of wait to see if anything comes out. Probably email him closer to next week's show to see if there's any breakthroughs, if nothing is put online to continue this story. I think it's a really fascinating story. It's really starting to develop, I think. And again, I even told him, I said, I don't know. It could be the precursor to a hoax. Maybe somebody setting this up, but the more time that goes by, I think that's less likely. John Sable, he's had the Book of the Week here a couple of times and also have attended three of his ghost excavation conferences over the course of the last, I don't know how many years. Doesn't do it every year, but it was there last fall. John's an extremely, extremely knowledgeable guy, but he wasn't there to speak on his ghost excavation stuff. No, he was there to talk about, well, I just mentioned it, the legend of Boggy Creek. He was actually there in Fauk, Arkansas back in 1972 when all of this stuff was taking place. So it was really interesting to hear his personal stories about these sightings and about the people that were there involved with what was going on. It was a really interesting take because, this is a legendary sighting. And again, a lot of people got their start because of this movie. And many, pretty much anybody who's involved in cryptozoology knows about the legend of Boggy Creek, the Fauk monster, and how it's kind of shaped Bigfoot sightings quite a bit. Let's see, who else was there? With John, I first saw Mary Becker, who's pretty much his other half. And I saw their dog. And let's see, who else was here? Dave Dragason comes to mind here. He was a speaker last year, but this year he served as the MC. And he's a solid researcher, also a sketch artist, and he's donated a lot of his sketches. I know he did last year, and he also did this year for the fetched quite a bit. I think $30 for a couple of drawings of Bigfoot that he did from witnesses in Southwest Pennsylvania. So. Pretty cool to get a sketch artist's rendition of somebody's sighting. I think that's pretty cool. I was outbid. But anyway, Colin Schneider. Yeah, he was there. You know who he is, right? He's the host of the Crypto Kid radio show heard right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting. And he was there all weekend long. I didn't see him until Saturday. But he was there. Him and his dad were there hanging out, chit-chatting. He was handing out some of his research that he's been working on. which I've got somewhere. No, it's with my computer. I've got it, Colin. And solid kid. I mean, a lot of people were talking to him, and my Facebook is blowing up. Anyway, who else? Who else? My goodness. Stan Gordon. How could I forget him? Fellow speaker of the weekend. Good friend. He's helped me out a lot. Taught me a lot of stuff. Stan Gordon. This guy's been doing this 6 decades. 6 decades of anomalous research. UFOs. Started with the Kecksburg incident. And just chronicling all of these Bigfoot sightings, UFO sightings in Southwest Pennsylvania. 6 decades. Well, he was in his tent with his wife, trying to stay warm, trying to stay dry. And another good friend, Ron Murphy, another speaker. He showed up later on the day, Saturday. He was a little sick, a little down, under the weather. But I guess all of us were under the weather at that point, with all that rain going on. And let's see, friend and skeptic Kenny Biddle, he was there. How could I forget him? He's actually been the source of a couple stories here on the Paranormal News Insider over the years. And Joe Biello, interesting guy, great guy, very, very knowledgeable about the outdoors, about Bigfoot. He can recreate pretty much any wildlife sound there is, including all the whoops and hollers of Bigfoot. I met him back in 2013 at the spring outing for the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society at Keystone State Park. Great guy. Great guy. And let me do this real quick here. You're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're currently tuned in to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Wow, half hour on this already. Well, Walter Schrum, the music man. You've probably seen this. If you've been on Facebook, you follow me at all. Yeah, he asked Eric Altman, some of the other researchers, to come up. I think he called us the Bigfoot backup singers. To sing his hit song, Searching for Bigfoot. Jay Baterton, Walt Wadsworth, Ron Murphy were pulled up. And then I was just kind of hanging out. Jay dragged me up there. We went up under the music tent. We all played along. It was a lot of fun. They shot a video for it. Obviously, it's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. And we got Ricky Cherby to jump in after about a minute or so. And then the Mountain Monsters. Now, Mountain Monsters crew popped in. Now, initially, they said they were going to sit this one out. They just had done a video for their song, and Walt wanted to continue the thing they were shooting. So they said, you know, they had us come up, and the Mount Monsters guys were taking pictures with kids and just hanging out and doing their thing. And all of a sudden, they were just like, they saw us having fun, yelling and screaming with the song. So they had to come over, and it was a great time. It was pretty cool to be in a video with those guys. Yeah, if you saw the first, this was our first one. Now, if you saw the end of this, Jay, Ricky, and I did this little leg-kicking thing. The producer loved it. I thought we were going to get yelled at for it, but he loved it. And he said it saved the video, whatever that means. And if you haven't seen it, I got a link here, but I guess everybody in the chat room has already seen it from what I've heard. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And yeah, I think we should do like a karaoke version next year. Really do. Now, we'd end up doing another video of the same song at the end of the conference on Sunday afternoon. And they kind of had this all planned out. They're going to have Eric Altman come in dressed as Bigfoot. And it was pretty cool. That second version, it was fun. We all wore sunglasses. That was Jay's idea. It looked pretty cool. And then, let's see, Saturday night. Now, the weather was getting worse. It was really windy, and that cold air just really cut right through you. It was pretty bad. I know Steve Coles, he said, no way, I'm not going out. He's, you know, outside in the rain all day. Your boots can only take so much water. And he just didn't really wasn't feeling it. And I didn't blame him. A lot of people didn't want to go. And it was actually only 18 people who were interested in doing the night hike. I mean, still, it wasn't bad for the conditions and what we were dealing with. And it got worse. It did get worse. And the reason for this, again, it's raining slightly, and the temperature had actually dropped to under 40 degrees. It was rumored to possibly snow during the night. And it did, a little bit. We saw snow. It was like seeing Sasquatch in the woods. We were freaking out. And I jumped in Michael's Jeep, and we headed out with Katie and Blackie O of the One Bizarre Podcast. We headed out to the pipeline. And a lot of people wanted to stay at the main camp. They're in the middle again, which I get. So I only took a small number of people up the hill with me. And the other group went off to the other direction, to the east. And the wind, man, the wind was just so loud. We weren't really able to hear anything, any kind of reactions to any of the calls. But what was weird was, since we're up on the hill, about 200 feet up above the main camp there in the middle, and the other guys were up in the air, the way we were positioned, we could hear the other group pretty well when they did any calls. Even though it was, man, we're about almost a mile away. So it's pretty cool that worked, but it was pretty boring. It was pretty cold. We're all just standing around chit-chatting. And then it got a little interesting. Eric left. Eric Altman went back to see if anybody else is going to come back out at the 10 o'clock time for this kind of the second batch of people. And a lot of unexplained calls started popping up all over the place. They thought we had done a call. We didn't do a call. We didn't even hear what they were talking about. But apparently there was quite a bit of noise going on in the woods around us. And on our way back, we all met down not too much later after that. The one group decided to call it quits, and then everybody wanted to go back. So my little group, we walked back down the hill to meet the main group, and everybody walked back with the exception of Jay, myself, Ron Murphy, and or not Ron Murphy. See Ron Murphy for myself, Jay, Michael, and a couple other people stayed back, and we kind of were looking around for tracks, looking around for some stuff, and we found some partial tracks, nothing to worth saying it was a Bigfoot or anything like that, but just some interesting trails, interesting tracks, interesting breakage in some of the way some of the stuff was bent and broken. It was definitely something big and heavy and something with big feet, but we're not saying it was Bigfoot. It was just really interesting to kind of poke and prod around in the night in that area. And I'll tell you, I didn't really say anything to those guys. I don't want to sound like a wimp or anything, but we were walking out, and I had this feeling almost this entire time that there was really definitely something out there, human or otherwise. I don't know what it was that was kind of keeping an eye on us and following us. And one by one, we kind of admitted it to each other that we felt like something was escorting us out of there. It was an eerie feeling, but it was a great kind of a cap on the night, a cap on that weekend of adventure. And then, of course, it's a little bit of snow. That was crazy to see snow falling in May. I mean, I've seen snow in June in Ohio before, but it's Ohio. You expect it. But we went back to the campsite. Everybody went to sleep. I think we got back at like 1 o'clock, a little after one. And Sunday was the last of the speakers. Now I woke up in the morning expecting, you know, clear, sunny conditions. Because all day Saturday, people kept saying, oh, it's going to clear up at 11 o'clock. Oh, it's going to clear up at noon. Oh, it's going to clear up at one. It just rained continuously. It never stops. So Sunday morning, I wake up and it's raining still. What is going on around here? But it didn't last too long. A little after 9, it actually cleared up a little bit. And it was pretty much clear the rest of the day. We got a little spot of showers here, but really nothing major. It actually turned out to be a really nice day. It was really sunny the rest of the day. And I didn't realize that. I wandered up there about 10 after 10. Saw Eric up there playing around with the projector and everything. I was like, so who's first up? Is that me? It's like, yeah, you're 10 minutes late. Whoops. So I got my stuff and got on there and did my little speech, my little thing about the introduction essentially to cryptozoology, kind of the basics of the field and the research and stuff. And after that was Jay Bajorchin. He did an excellent video. He had a video and his presentation with all this awesome music and cool camera angles and little drone footage and all this stuff. And I was like, man, really did a good job. Well, he's a producer. He produces stuff. But it was an awesome, awesome, awesome little thing that he did there. I kind of picked on him for some of his evidence that he presented, but I feel bad for that. But, you know, just trying one researcher to another, just trying to help him out. But then after Jay, we had Ron Murphy, who's, oh my gosh, this guy, he's an awesome researcher. His books are chock full of so much research. I think, well, I've had three of his books. I got another one, the one I wanted, On Ghosts. That's the name of it, On Ghosts. Looking forward to reading that one. It will be the book of the week pretty soon, I guarantee you. I'll probably be reading it the rest of this week, maybe next week. And then to end the show, Steve Coles brought down the house with his, I don't know what you'd call it. Well, he pretty much exposed a lot of information and photographs and purported evidence of the Bigfoot field over the years. And Steve's, like I said before, he's a very down-to-earth guy. Great guy to chit-chat with and very knowledgeable. He'll teach you anything you want to know. Talk about all of his experiences and things. And fantastic guy. I'm hoping to get out to New York up in the Catskills and hang out with Steve. Do some squatching. Anyway, the charity auction. One thing I was looking forward to, they had one charity auction was on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. And kind of expensive. I walked away with quite a few books. I think 4 or 5 books and a stack. And when I say a stack, I mean a stack of UFO magazines. And nobody else wanted them. I don't know why, but I'm hoping that they're going to provide me some resources for an upcoming book project that hopefully will be out sometime this summer. Hopefully in time for my appearance at the Kecksburg UFO Festival at the end of July. We'll see. Yes, the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure, it was intense. That's it. That's the last time you're going to hear me say that. For a little while, Eric has announced that he's not doing this event next year. But a lot of us were trying to get him to change his mind at the event, but we'll see. It was a lot of work and a lot of pressure and a lot of he fronted a lot of his own money for this, I'm sure. And I'm sure it was, you know, a big strain on him to put on. These events are not easy. I mean, money is one thing, but time and dealing with people and trying to make sure everything is taken care of. People are taken care of. Everything is taken care of from getting chairs to tents to food. It's a lot of work. It's like a huge birthday party. So thank you, Eric, for all your hard work and everything you've done for this weekend, this year, and even last year. Last year was I thought last year couldn't be beat, but I think this year beat it by far. And that's it. That's your PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure summary for 2017. Now, you'll probably hear another – goodness sakes. You'll probably hear another – wrap up on an event that I'm going to be going to May 19th and 20th in Radford, Virginia. Hopefully I don't lose my voice. That one would be kind of weird. No, I don't have Ron Murphy's On Vampires book. That's another one that I want to get. I do have On. What do I do? On Wild Man. on Dogman. And I got another one somewhere. Anyway, yeah, Ron Murphy stuff is awesome. If you've not read Ron Murphy stuff, and I've talked about it, he's been the Book of the Week at least twice, and will be again pretty soon. Ron Murphy, his books are just awesomely researched. And I'll talk about that here in a second here. But St. Albans Sanatorium, May 19th to the 20th, Radford, Virginia. It's called EnigmaCon. So you can find more information at enigmacons.com, EnigmaCons.com. And it looks like I'll be speaking on Saturday at 3 p.m. after a tour of St. Albans. On this event, one of the people putting it on is Alan May, and I've known Alan for quite a few years. I've gone down to the VA ParaQuest a couple of years in a row that he was helping to put on. Great guy, and I'm glad that he's asked me to be a part of this, and he's excited about it. I'm excited about it. Another guy I know, Scott Sukel, he'll be there. He's formerly of the Mansfield Reformatory, one of the tour guides down there. Oh, Dita, you beat me to it. Thank you. Christopher St. Booth, Adam Bonnet, Pat Lucard O'Keefe, Susan Switek, Alan Marston, also going to be speaking that weekend. It's weird. It's actually a Friday and Saturday. And Nick, who's in the chat room right there, he's going to be heading out with me. We're going to be announcing our new team that we've got put together. And we're hitting the trail. So it's kind of like our first place since 6 years. My goodness, time flies. Speaking of former investigators, Brandon Masullo, who I've known for quite a while, he's going to have an event on Monday, May 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. Now, he's from hauntedtheories.com, which we've talked about already, his background on subsequent shows, or I should say prior shows to the show, about environmental sensitivity. He's going to be putting on a presentation in Columbus, Ohio on May 15th. So if you're interested in that, you have an interest in the environmental sensitivity and the connection to paranormal experiences, which if you're a serious researcher, you really should. Because it's fascinating, and it definitely does. They're definitely related. I've seen it in a number of cases, so I highly recommend checking this out. If you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, again, May 15th, I'll throw that in the chat room there. And what else do we? Well, I got some stories. Why not? We're just going to jump into some cryptid stories here for the last 15 minutes. And it's weird because a few of these stories tie in to this weekend, sort of. That was brought to you by brand new Mountain Dew, Dew USA, I guess. Pretty good stuff. I've been drinking this all weekend. It's keeping me awake and afloat. So the thylacine, my goodness, what can we just find one already? It's been in the news for like 6 months straight. And you remember, talked about this, the Thylacine Hair Project by Chris Rayburg. And the goal of this was to deliver high-resolution digital imagery of thylacine hair. Pretty simple. Because there's only been two studies conducted, and one not so good. 1950, very crude drawings. Another in 1985, black and white photographs. I didn't realize this. So this work will help put together a baseline reading for these thylacine hairs just in case we do find one or somebody tries to perpetrate a hoax. Now, I wasn't very confident last week that I reported that of the $1,795 that Chris needed to fund this project, he only collected $733. It was not looking good at all. Just 5 days left. I didn't think it would happen. But Saturday morning, got an email. I was very surprised by this, to be honest with you. Very happy to announce that when the deadline hit, the project was fully funded and raised just over $1,800. I was really amazed by this because, again, I didn't think it would make it. And kind of made that announcement during my presentation at the PA Bigfoot Camping Convention, kind of tied in when I was talking about science and cryptozoology, how cryptozoology is viewed as a pseudoscience. It's not an actual science, even though it says ology. It's not a real recognized science, but it does sometimes have a little bit of science involved in it. And just kind of bragging that I was one of 26 people that helped donate money to this project. And very excited that it passed. Hopefully, this project will come in handy in the future, and it was worth it. That would be absolutely fantastic. Let's see, so if you want to check that out, if you haven't checked it out yet, I'll throw the link to the. I mean, it's over, but you can check out the experiment details at experiment.com for the micrographic study of thylacine hair of the Thylacinus cynocephalus. There he is. And another thing, this kind of was like, took me by surprise, this next story here. Now, in my presentation at the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure, I talked about my personal designations for cryptids, just my opinion, kind of how I explain to a crowd how cryptids are kind of grouped, in my opinion, again, just how I see it. I call the first group out of time. Now, these are creatures that were, I got 10 minutes, so I'm not out of time. Now, these are creatures that were thought to have become extinct. Well, animals such as the coelacanth, prime example I used. This is the fish that is essentially the living link between ancient and today's fish. It was thought to have been extinct for 65 million years until one was found in 1938. And it took a few years to be proven by science to be what it was. And the second designation here would be out-of-place animals, like monkeys in Florida. And then, of course, the third designation is what I call out-of-this-world, which would be like the Mothman, Owlman, different strange creatures that just completely defy the known laws of nature, things that shouldn't combinations of things that would not be able to breed together. You know, some of these weird sightings, I guess Mothman, Owlman, Jersey Devil would be one of these things. You know, large creatures that fly or just crazy combinations of creatures that just would not happen in nature. Now, back to the second designation here, out of place. Now, during my presentation, I mentioned that monkeys exist in two places in the wild in the United States. A lot of people didn't know this, which is fantastic. Now, there's one group of monkeys that live near the Silver River in Central Florida. And this happened back in 1938. Yeah, the same year that the coelacanth was found. When a tour boat operator let a bunch of monkeys loose on an island, and he thought they would stay there. Ah, they can't swim. Well, they can, a little bit. And they spread, and they're still there. They're still there. There's estimated to be over 1,000 monkeys on loose in Central Florida. And this is actually near the Orlando area. So who knows, when you're riding Pirates of the Caribbean. Nah, we're not going to go that far. You kind of got to look for them. They're kind of – essentially you got to go – kind of got to go kayaking to see these guys. But anyway, the second set of feral monkeys I mentioned – are located on an island off the coast of South Carolina called Morgan Island. Now, these are macaque monkeys that were put here in the 1970s, and they came from Puerto Rico. They were monkeys that were being tested or used in testing for different things, and they kept escaping. They were a public health hazard, so they were relocated to Morgan Island in the United States. I guess South Carolina volunteered to house these monkeys, and they're still there. they've exploded. I think there's like 3,000 right now. And again, the only way to see those is to kayak out there. Don't recommend it, though, unless you have your hepatitis shots. I'm sorry. Not hepatitis. I forget what they have. They're infected. Just don't even go near them. Now, one story that broke, and this kind of surprised me because I didn't even know about this, and I've been to Texas numerous times. Numerous times. The story, I forget what day. I think it was the 5th, maybe it came out. It discusses feral snow monkeys, which are also called Japanese macaque monkeys, that roam a little Texas town. And they've been doing so since the 1970s. I didn't know there were feral monkeys in Texas. I was like blown away by this. But these monkeys are mostly kept in enclosures. They can't get out. And the ones that are kind of loose, I think they're still kind of caged in to a certain extent. But people have photographed these guys just hanging out in the wild. But this troop of monkeys would certainly have a hard time surviving without a little human help out there in the desert of Texas. But it's interesting to see if you I'll put the story out here. You can check it out. There's actually a little video. The video is interesting. It kind of describes how they've adapted to living in the desert. It also shows the history of the area. And one other story that I'm really blown away by this one is about the orang pendek. You might have heard about the orang pendek. This is a ground-dwelling primate. Primate-like creature. I can't really call it a primate. Now, it's rumored to exist on the island of Sumatra in Indonesia. That's essentially a shorter version of Bigfoot. It's said to be covered in hair. It's been described by locals for hundreds of years, very heavy in a local folklore. Now, scientists, of course, have scoffed at the idea of these short wild men stories. So it's foolish to think that. There's nobody out there. Maybe it's just a tribe of wild people out in the woods. Whatever. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Then all of a sudden, 2003. The remains of a human-like species that would have been about 3.5 feet tall was discovered on the island of Flores. And Homo floresiensis, as it's become known, as it was named, they were thought to be descended from the Homo erectus, which is, I guess you call it our great-great-grandparents. If you believe in evolution, I don't know. Some people don't. Anyway, new research now suggests that Homo floresiensis more than likely descended from the same ancestor as Homo habilis, which would make the Homo floresiensis a little older than Homo erectus, who was obviously first thought to be the ancestor. Now, these findings fall in line with determinations from fragments of bones, pieces, parts, that show that floresiensis shows similarities with the older Australopithecus. Australopithecus, yeah, easy. Yeah, anyway. Homo habilis followed Australopithecus, then Homo erectus, and then we have Neanderthal to these crazy things that are running around nowadays called Homo sapiens. The scariest ones of all. Anyway, last but not least, book of the week. Well, I had a hard time thinking of this. I didn't have a whole lot of time to read. I heard that Colin Schneider, I heard that he was reading, I think, Saturday morning? It was raining, something like that. But I didn't have time. I really didn't. So I thought, well, what can I do? I don't want to just grab a random book. most of my cryptozoology books I've already done as books of the week. So I thought, you know what? Let me take a look at the 2017 Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure lineup. And you know what? You know what is amazing? The speakers, as a whole, John Sable Jr., Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Stan Gordon, this crazy guy, Brian D. Parsons, Ron Murphy, and Steve Coles, those speakers together have published at least 102 books to date. 102 books out of just the speakers that were there this year at the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure. Unbelievable. I don't think that it wasn't brought up. I just kind of like thought about it today. And granted, a majority of those books came from John Sable and Rosemary Ellen Guiley. John has at least 33 that I know of. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, she on her one of her pages, she has 49 books. Stan Gordon, I'm pretty sure he has 4. I have 5, I think. Ron Murphy has 5 books on the paranormal. Or maybe it's 6. I think it's 6 now. Pretty sure it's 6. Plus 4 fiction. And Steve Coles, he's got 2. He's got 2. Well, 1 really good one. The other one I haven't read yet. I kind of thumbed through it last year. So I guess they'll all share. These 6 of us will share the book of the week this week. And I don't even know how the heck I'm going to do this. I guess I'll just put their links to all their sites when I go to do when I upload the show and everything. I think it's just the right thing to do. And, you know, granted, I've done John Sable's books. I've done Stan Gordon's books, Ron Murphy's books, one of Steve Cole's books. Heck, I've even done my own books on the show. Rosemary, I don't think I own any of your books. Maybe I do, to be honest. I'd have to look. I'm sure I do. Out of 49 books, I'm sure I got one somewhere. Somewhere. I'd have to look. But yeah, I think it's the right thing to share all that because they, you know, everyone was there sharing their knowledge and sharing their information. And I just think it was just fascinating to hear all of the ideas and the no matter how crazy they were, all the input from everybody, and having people like Kenny Biddle, you know, a skeptic in the crowd, being able to talk to him and be able to, you know, talk to other people about different things and listening to him talk to some of the believers that were on hand. It was very interesting, you know, just all the conversations that you normally have with people. But all of that knowledge and all that information up there on stage all weekend long, it was just a very good experience, and I'm glad to have been able to be a part of that. Very honored to be among all of those great speakers and presenters, and everything that happened this weekend at the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure. So again, big thanks to Eric Altman. And always big thanks to Cindy, my producer, for all of her hard work she does. Even when my voice is dying, and she's probably going to have to cut half of this show apart to get rid of some of the hacking and stuff. But anyway, look at all those books. I guess I do have 5 books. Pretty cool. It's weird to see those. Anyway, yeah, thanks to Cindy. Thanks to Dita in the chat room for the links and everything else she's doing in there. And Paul, I see you, Paul. Paul always greets me. He's always the first one in the chair. Well, Cindy's always the first one in the chair. But anyway, trying to figure out. I can't remember what picture I used last week. I do these little picture things at the end of the show to say goodnight to everybody. I can't remember which one I did. You know what? We're going to do this one. We'll do this one. That's cool. Anyway, we'll try that one. There it is. I don't know if I did that one last week or not. I like that one. Pretty cool. All the famous frame 352 of the Patterson-Gimlin film. Anyway, thank you everyone for tuning in. I know it was a kind of an abnormal show, just talking about the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure, but I really had such a tremendous time that I really wanted to pay homage to all the people that I met. And that was just probably just a sliver. There's so many other people that I met over the weekend. I just can't remember. It was just an overwhelming weekend. It was tons of fun. And I hope if you were there, you had fun as well. And if you weren't there, I hope you're jealous. And hopefully it'll happen again. It might not happen at that location. But if it does happen, you've got to get there. It's the experience of a lifetime. It really is. And it was intense and all those things. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back to our normal routine next week with the news and everything going on. And I'll try to kick this throat thing in the rear end and get rid of it quickly. So that being said, I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.